Did you ever say to yourself, today is the day? This is it. From this day on, I'm going to get serious about my relationship with God. And so you resolve to yourself, the first day of the week on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to prepare myself, and I'm going to come to worship, and I'm going to be there. Today is the day I'm going to do this. And so that's exactly what you do. You come to the service, you come to the service for several weeks, maybe even a few months, but then as time goes on, you find yourself slowly drifting back into the old ways. Did you ever say to yourself, look, today is the day. I'm going to straighten out the priorities of my life so that they will be in line with the will of God. So you say to yourself, look, I'm going to go home. I'm going to be the husband and the father that God wants me to be. I'm going to be the wife and the mother that God wants me to be. And I'm going to get my priorities straight at home. I'm going to get my priorities straight within myself. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get serious about God. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And so that's what you start out to do. And it goes on for a few weeks, maybe even a few months. And then again, you slowly revert back to the old you. Did you ever say to yourself, today is the day? This is it. I'm going to refocus myself. I'm going to recommit myself to God. And you start out doing that. And shortly after you'd start, it goes away. This morning, I'm going to put my finger on why that happened. This morning, I'm going to put my finger on why we lose faithfulness. On why our consistency over time becomes inconsistent. Why our steadfastness over time becomes less steadfast. This morning, I'm going to put my finger on why we have this resolve that I'm going to get serious about God, and then we lose that resolve. The Old Testament prophet, Hosea, his ministry was to the northern kingdom of Israel. At this time, the nation of Israel had divided itself. The lower portion, the southern portion, had become Judah, and the northern portion had become the kingdom of Israel. So Judah is to the south, and Israel is to the north. The prophet Hosea is ministering to the north, to the kingdom of Israel. At this time in history, Israel had turned away from God and were worshiping idols. They had walked away from God. They had lost their faithfulness, and they were showing absolutely no signs of repenting. So God had tried everything to get them to remain faithful. God had done everything he could to get their love for him to be steadfast and to get their commitment to him to last. God had done everything he could, but nothing had helped. So what was the problem with Israel? Why couldn't Israel maintain a constant fellowship and relationship with God? What was wrong? In the prophet's book, chapter 6, and in verse number 4, here is what the prophet said to Israel. Oh, Ephraim, pause. Ephraim was Israel. Israel was Ephraim. Oh, Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Oh, Judah, pause. Now even the southern kingdom of Judah had joined into this unfaithfulness to God. Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud. Your faithfulness is like the early dew. It goes away. The prophet here draws a very vivid picture. And every one of us has seen this picture. We all know what that looks like. You get up early in the morning and you open the shade, or you go to the front door and you open the front door and there's dew. And this dew covers absolutely everything. It's everywhere. And then the sun comes up and the dew is gone. In that verse, God is describing to Israel, he is illustrating to them what their relationship to him is like. Your faithfulness to me is temporary. Your love is superficial. Your commitment never lasts. So God says to them, listen, I punish you, and then you get faithful again, and you're faithful for a little while, and then you become unfaithful. So God says, I punish you again. That gets your attention. You become faithful. You're faithful for me for a little while, and then off into unfaithfulness you go. God said, your relationship with me is like the early morning dew that covers everything, and then in a little while, that which covered everything covers nothing. Now, that's the way it was with Israel. 2,700 years ago, 3,000 years ago, this described Israel. But then we fast forward to you and I today, and we look at it and we say, okay, what is the difference between then and now? And brethren, the difference between then and now is there is no difference. There is no difference. Many Christians today are carrying on the same relationship with God that Israel did in the days of the prophet. Our faithfulness is temporary. Our love is flimsy. Our commitment is superficial. And you and I, many Christians today, many, they're like that early morning dew that's there, and then they're gone. Now, this early morning dew Christianity exhibits itself in a number of ways. One of those ways is this. A Christian is gone. Several weeks, maybe even several months, they're gone. And then they come back. There's no explanation from them at all. They come back. And they respond. And they repent. And they're here for a little while, and then they're gone again. And after a few weeks or a few months, they come back again. And they respond. They repent. And almost before the ink dries on the response card, they're gone again. They're gone again. They're that early morning dew that's there, and then it's shortly gone. Now, what is the solution to this? Look, we're all about solutions here. But you gotta state the problem, and everybody's gotta understand the problem before we work with the solution, or we don't know what we're trying to solve. Amen. So that's the problem. So what's the solution? Look, what is the solution to this Christianity that's in and out and off and on and up and down and hot and cold and here and gone? What's the solution to that? This morning, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you the three biggest reasons, the three biggest problems why many cannot have a consistent level of faithfulness to God. And that was Israel's problem. They just could never get that consistent level of faithfulness with God. It was temporary. It was superficial. It was there, but God knew this is soon going to be gone. So how do we maintain that consistent level of faithfulness? Look, we all want to go to heaven, right? Here's the solution. There is one statement that Jesus made. He was approached by a lawyer, not a lawyer like we know a lawyer, a scribe, an expert in the old law, And this scribe comes to him and he says, listen, what is the greatest commandment of all? I absolutely love that question. There are 612 commandments in the old law. But listen, what is first and what is the most important? So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said to this expert in the law, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Here's the solution. Heart, soul, and mind. Heart, soul, and mind is the solution. Why do we fail to maintain a constant level of faithfulness to God? Number one, we fail to put our heart in it. Let me explain something to you. We fail and we waffle back and forth because we fail to put our heart in it. Now, in the Bible, the word heart rarely ever refers to the organ that pumps blood to the body. When the Bible uses the word heart, it's not talking about that heart. But in the Bible, the word heart means the inner you. The inner you, the place where nobody goes, the place where nobody has seen, the place where you don't let anybody there. It's the inner you. In the Bible, the word heart has reference to your passion, to your desires, to your affection, and to your emotions. Let me put it like this. The word heart in the Bible is talking about the place that's inside each of us where our spirituality lives. That's your heart. That's your heart. Now I want you to listen carefully, very carefully, to this next sentence. The reason that most Christians do not succeed is because they don't put their heart in their relationship with God. The reason that most Christians do not succeed in their relationship with God is because they don't put their passion in it, and they don't put their emotions in it, and they don't put their driving desires in it, and they don't put their affections in it. That's why they don't succeed. Now, I'm going to illustrate right now the importance of the heart in the situation. This will illustrate clearly to everybody how important the heart is to a man. I grew up at the Eastside Central Church Christ. This young man I grew up with, I was in his house over and over and over and over again. He was in my house over and over and over again. We grew up together. Then when we got older, we attended Finney High School together. The greatest high school in the city of Detroit. Right, Lily? Greatest high school in the city of Detroit. When he was in the ninth grade, he was 6'2" and weighed 220 pounds. He's bigger than all the teachers. And he loved sports, and we played sports growing up. So he went out for a football team. In the ninth grade, he made All-State. Back then, that was unheard of. I mean, if you could do All-City, listen, he was one of the leading fullbacks, which is what he played. He was one of the leading fullbacks in the state of Michigan. He's in the ninth grade. In the 10th grade, Finney High School, greatest high school in the city of Detroit, won the city championship, Detroit Public Schools, for football. And they won it mainly on his back. So now we're in the 11th grade, juniors. We're in 11th grade. And I go into his house, and on his kitchen table, there were a stack of letters. They were all of this high. These letters were from colleges and universities all over the country wanting him to come to college. You come to college here and play football, and we'll take care of the rest. So I'm going through these letters. And Charlie looks at me, and he says, "I'm not playing football in the 12th grade." I thought he was messing with me. And so I pick up these letters. I say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he looked at me. He said, "I'm quitting the football team. I'm quitting the football team." I'm like, "Are you nuts?" And he said, "Listen, football isn't what I want. I don't want that." And he looked at me and said this. He said, "Here's what I want." He said, "I want to finish high school, I want to finish college, and I want to be a school teacher, a physical education teacher. I want to teach kids sports." So here's what he did. He finished high school. He went to college and finished college. And he spent his entire life career as a physical education teacher in high school. And just a few years ago, he retired from that. Are you listening? No, 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 no. You got to listen right here. This is it. It doesn't matter how talented you are at something. It doesn't matter how much knowledge about something you have. If your heart's not in it, you're not gonna last. One of the leading fullbacks in the state of Michigan. You know what? His heart wasn't in that. His heart was in something else. If you don't put your heart in your relationship with God, you're not going to last. Now, conversely, whatever that word means, conversely, if you have an abundance of heart, if you put your heart into it, you will be able to overcome the obstacles of life. And if you have an abundance of heart, you will be able to overcome whatever Satan, whatever the world, and whatever everybody else throws at you. The difference is your heart. Now listen to me. I beg you to listen to me. There are always going to be people who are smarter than you. And there's always going to be people who are more educated than you. And there's always going to be people who have a personality that can walk into a room and just swallow the room up. But nobody, nobody can out-heart you. I don't care what anybody else has got. I don't care what anybody else gives. I don't care what anybody else does. When you put your heart into something, you're in it as deep as anybody else on the face of the earth. God help us to learn that. Help us to learn that. Put your heart into your Christianity. Put your passion there. Put your desires there. Listen. Nobody on the face of the earth, nobody on the face of the earth can maintain a consistent level of Christianity if they're going at it half-hearted attitude. Nobody. You know why church is such a burden? Because your heart's not in it. Your heart's not in it. Do you know why? Oh, it's just so hard to get up on Sunday morning and to get dressed. Oh, it's so hard. It's because your heart's not in it. Do you know why it's just such an overwhelming burden to read the Bible even 10 or 15 minutes a day, and yet you go on social media and stay for hours? What is the difference? Your heart is in one place, but it's not in here. It's not in here. I'm going to say this too. Oh, I'm going to say this. But I'm getting close to this door because this leads outside. Are you listening?
Yes.
There are tens of thousands of people today. Tens of thousands of people today who are going to make their way downtown to Ford Field, and that ain't gonna be a burden at all. And if their car doesn't run, they're gonna get a neighbor's car. They're gonna call Uber. They're gonna call Greyhound. Bless God, half of them probably steal a car. That's not a problem. You think they're sitting at home, oh man, I can't believe I got to get up and drive all the way downtown. Why? What? Tell me, why? Their heart's in it. And that's the difference. You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference. Oh, why is everything so hard? Listen, you take your relationship with God, you take your relationship with God, and you put your heart in that relationship with God, and you're going to do fine. So, why can't so many maintain that constant relationship to her? Number two, they fail to put their soul in it. To put their soul in it. Now let me tell you something about the word soul in Matthew 22:37. The word soul there has reference to your will. To your will. You say, well, I don't understand. All right, let me help you. Listen to the sentence. You will be faithful to God when you will to be faithful to God. You get it? You will commit yourself to God when you will to commit yourself to God. Listen. A Christian who is faithful, a Christian who wills to be faithful. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to be this. The Christian who wills to be faithful, that Christian will attend the services when they're in the mood and when they're not in the mood. Why? Because they will to do this. A Christian who's faithful, a Christian who has put their will into being faithful to God, they'll read the Bible and they'll pray and they'll live like they ought to live out there in that ungodly world when it's easy and when it's hard. Why? Because that's what they will to do. Now here's what, this is my saying. And I've said it here over and over again. And I've said it at home 10,000 times. And if I keep living, I'm going to keep saying this. People do what they want to do. People go where they want to go. Let me put it another way. People go where they will to go. People do what they will to do. Now, I'm going to say this, and nobody knows who it is, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. Unless I get a nasty letter this week from who I'm about to talk about, then I'm going to tell everybody who I was talking about. And if you're out there listening, try me. They haven't been to church in months. They haven't been to church in months. The reason they haven't been here is because, quote, they're not physically able to come. Okay. God understands that. I understand that. You think I'm smarter than God? That's fine. Now, I don't have Facebook. No, he thinks the Facebook is sinful. I didn't say that. And I can give you all kind of reasons why I don't have it, but I don't have it because I'm not smart enough to have it. Okay? I don't know anything about Facebook, but I get shown stuff on Facebook. So this individual who hasn't been here months, because they can't physically get here. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. There they are. There they are. There they are. There they are. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. We went here. We ate here. Look at us. They're not physically able to come here. They're not physically able to come here. So they're all over the place. They're doing all this. And there was one, bless God, where this individual was trying to dance. Be still, Deborah. But this, she's the one who shows me. Don't say don't. Look at me. I'm not about done with this. If I was shaped like that, I wouldn't be wiggling nothing around. And if I was gonna wiggle something, I'd put some clothes on before I started wiggling it. Now, months, are you hearing me? I want you to get the point. Months, you can't come here. Why? I'm not physically able to, but I can jump all over. What is the difference? Their will is not to be here. Their will is to be out there. And then come in and lie to our face about it. Amen. And I say this, and now you know who I am. I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. Well, bless God, I'm using, take a number and get to the end of the line. Amen. Listen, is this real or not? Is Christianity right or wrong? Am I the only one here with a, no, no. Put your heart into it. Put your will into it. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. This is where I'm going to go. And bless God, I'm going to go. I may run there. I may walk there. I may crawl there. I may roll there. But I'm going. And when you get that kind of tenacity about your relationship with God, it's going to be good. Number three. I know some of you, you love God, but only till noon. Number three. Harold, we not laughing at you, my man. It ain't so. Let me say this too. No, listen, okay? Listen to me. You know what people will say, well, who are you mad at? You know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at the devil. And you ought to be mad at him. If I had medication, I'd sure take some of it right here. I'll tell you that. Number three. You fail to put your mind in it. The reason we don't maintain a level of faithfulness to God, we're on and off and up and down and here and gone. The reason we don't put our heart in it, we don't put our will in it, and we don't put our mind in it. Let me tell you something, and I'm serious. I'm very serious. You can change your life by just doing this. If every day of your life, if you would just stop everything for just a few minutes and just think, listen, engage your mind. Here, let me put a sharper point on that. I'm convinced that if a person would just take 5 minutes, and think about an action before you engage in that action, if you did that, you would never purposely be unfaithful to God again. Should I go here? Should I do this? Should I go with them? Should whatever it is. Look, take 5 minutes and think about it. Engage your mind in this. Actions have consequences. If I do that, what are the consequences here? If I go there, what are the consequences? Whenever I do go there, what happens? You make the right choices, and most of the time, you're going to have good consequences.
You make bad choices, and most of the time you're going to have bad consequences. You know how you do that? Engage your mind. Engage your mind. Think about this. Do I want to do that? Well, let me think about it for a minute. Let me close with this. I got to get to the end of this. Here is Israel. And we all can relate to this. Here is Israel. I'm faithful and I'm not faithful. I'm in and I'm out. I'm good and I'm not good. We know that. Amen? We've either seen it or done it. We know this. So God says to Hosea the prophet and to Amos the prophet. Amos gets in this. God tells those two prophets, you go tell Israel I'm going to punish them. You go tell them I'm going to punish them. And God did punish them. And Israel was carried off into Assyrian captivity as their punishment. Now, do any of us really think? Do you really believe that this unchanging God who punished Israel for their shallow spirituality is going to actually overlook our shallow spirituality? That's not going to happen. The solution is your heart, your soul, and your mind. Nobody can out-heart you. Just put your heart in it and go for it. Will to do this. Will to do this. You thinking about doing it? No, I'm doing it. I ain't thinking about nothing. I'm thinking about how happy I'm going to be after I get done with it because it's getting done. And then engage your mind in it. Give God your heart, your will, and your mind, and you will always, always be faithful to Him. This morning, listen to me. This morning, if you're headed the wrong way, if you're headed the wrong way, you need to bring it back. I don't know how to bring it back. Yeah, you do. Heart, will, and mind. If you need to respond, listen, get the courage. Do this. This is where it starts. Come right now as together we stand and as